Here comes the drums. Welcome. Welcome to Nerd Management. the only podcast that's part of his daily balance breakfast.
That was nice.
Hey, thanks, man.
That's a good one. I like that.
Was it?
Can I be Yummy Mummy?
Yes, you can.
Yes.
I was going to say, and it's also rich in vitamin A and W, but I...
I see. Like root beer.
Like we're the beers.
Vitamins.
Yeah.
Or actual vitamins.
So I'm Alec Ward.
Yeah, I'm Warner Swopes.
We've got Chris Bannon with us today.
Oh, no, I can't stand it.
And then Mr. Justin Richard Smith.
This is the first time in ages. This is the first time in a Coon's age we've had both of our sound producers with us.
That's a
point.
Yeah.
Research that history.
Like a raccoon, like how old raccoons
are.
Okay.
I think they lived to be 16.
Right.
It is weird how our schedules have been totally different.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then.
Let me teach you a little bit about raccoons. I actually know a little bit.
And then our very special
their
guest
meat is
tonight,
very rancid tasting.
We'll get to it eventually.
Really?
Pile of crap.
Our very special guest, back for a second time.
Gavin Smith.
What up?
He's almost a hat trick over here. He's one more
he's
time.
Almost, he's
one
almost
more
a regular time. Chase Callow.
Yeah. Yeah.
He's famished.
Yeah.
Oh, don't put me in a category with that guy.
Not right. And then eventually we'll have Robert Roepke with us, but...
Yeah, he's on snack duty tonight. Baby's on adult snack.
I'm an adult!
Yeah. Real prepared.
I'm an adult with candy.
He shoves like a handful of Skittles in his mouth.
By the way, has anybody ever done the most terrible trick you could ever do by hiding Skittles in a big bowl of M&M's? Anybody?
Oh, that would really sour your mouth.
Yeah, it's one of the most evil things you can do to another human.
Nobody can see the S on the Skittles. And
well, when you're just reaching in,
you're just bear clawing in there.
I was going to say, like, how the hell
that's how I do
it. M&M's and just go, oh, M-S. No.
Yeah.
Get that out of here.
So today at work, I've got this guy. He's sort of important, but not that important. He takes himself too seriously.
Sure.
I was thinking about it today, and I was like, he loves to give me a hard time, even though technically, like, he is not in charge of me in any way.
Okay.
And I was thinking about this, like, in terms of comic books today. Like, is there anyone in comics that does that? I feel like, just if I had to get, like, take a, like, wild shot in the dark, I'd say Wolverine is probably someone who does that.
Who thinks he's way
like,
more
every
important.
Team he's on, he's not the leader of, but he thinks he's super important.
Okay.
Well, let me ask you this.
I propose this to you, sir.
Is there any more superheroes that you think that are more manly than Wolverine?
No, that's true. And this guy is not a Wolverine. I'm not saying he's a Wolverine type.
Didn't Wolverine, like, way before Professor Xavier actually, like, start a kind of X-Men style team?
Well, I guess he sort of was the leader of Alpha Flight.
Yeah.
But Vindicator really was more the leader.
They're Canadian.
I mean, how important is that?
But then again, also, like, Batman's done things like that where, like, I know Batman is super important. Please, no one kill me. But where, like, the contingency plans for, like, if anybody were to turn bad, like, was that really his... Was he supposed to do that?
I guess that's kind of overstepping his
bounds.
Like,
sir, come on.
They gave him a ton of crap for it, and they kicked him out of the Justice League.
Exactly.
Yeah, that's right.
He said, fine, I don't care. You guys are all lame. You're all a bunch of posers.
Swear to me.
I'm out there on the streets. I don't have
to. Now he sounds like Macho Man.
I know, like,
do it in Batman voice.
Yeah. Well, we haven't even heard it yet.
Let me tell you something, brother.
I just imagine it's going to be with, like, a Boston accent. He just calls everybody pussies all the time.
Right, so we've got comics to talk about.
Yeah, sure do. So why don't you? I did first last week. So why don't you go first?
Yeah,
this
our
week?
Format's been a little different. Instead of just being like spending a bunch of time on one book that's our favorite book, kind of highlight a couple of books you really liked and kind of give a brief. This is what we liked about it, so that people can get a variety of books instead of me always talking about Swamp Thing and Alec always talking about Batman.
Which
hooray!
Anyway.
So I think my books for me this week, Nightwing really stuck out. Like this was Kyle Higgins' swan song on Nightwing. Okay,
which is a myth, by the way. It's swan songs, by the way. Just throwing it out there.
It's going.
Is that a thing?
Yeah, swans sing a song right before they die. It's called their swan song. It's the last thing they ever do.
Uh-huh. Well, that's why they call the last that's thing someone does the swan song. Yeah. But it's not a real thing. It's just not. Like a coon's age isn't real. Coons live forever. Raccoons are infinite.
Oh, yeah. I knew that. Just keep digging that hole, bro.
Anyway, back to comics, right? So, Nightwing this week was Kyle Higgins' last issue. He's done the book since the relaunch, number one, all the way to 29, and then there's one more issue, and then the book's...
Which is actually written by James Tynion, I saw.
Right, correct.
The fourth.
If you've been reading Kyle Higgins...
Confused with the other three. Yeah. Yeah.
If you've been reading Nightwing, and I don't know if you guys have, but I have.
Yeah.
Since the beginning, it's been a really good book, but nothing.
Is
like,
this a Batman spinoff?
Yeah, basically.
Oh,
no. So each story arc has kind of been its own thing. This last issue showed how it was all tied together, and it was genius and beautiful. And the end splash page is basically Nightwing talking about how much he loves being Nightwing and zipping up his hoodie.
Did you man missed a little?
Basically, yeah. And this is a spoiler if you haven't read Forever Evil from 2 weeks ago, but we already talked about it last week, so.
So I'm not hitting the button.
No big spoiler really here. Nightwing allegedly dies in that. So this takes place right before he goes off back to Gotham to stop all
to
of this
die.
Stuff.
Right.
So he's like, I love being Nightwing, and dies.
Oh, man.
But I'm pretty sure he's not dead. I'm pretty sure he's going to come back. But he won't be Nightwing. I think he's going to try to be a new identity.
Did you guys actually read it, or did you just hear that?
Oh, no, I read it.
Okay. Oh, yeah. Because I just read the spoilers on, Newsarama.
Oh, yeah.
Basically, Lex Luthor puts his hand over Nightwing's mouth and nose and suffocates him, and then his heart rate goes to all E's, which we know is the sound of hearts being dead. Yeah. But then the end of the scene is Batman's beating up Lex Luthor for doing that, and Lex Luthor's like, no, I had to, but it's not too late. Meaning that they can just bring him back to life.
Yeah,
and my whole argument...
Just drop him in the Lazarus pit.
My whole argument last week was real people in real life come back from that all of the time.
Yeah,
that's what doctors and nurses do.
Yeah, that's their
job.
Yeah.
So in a comic book where people can come back from being blown to pieces...
Sure.
I believe they call it
smithering.
It seems unrealistic that Nightwing would die from being suffocated for 5 minutes.
Yeah. Well, did you hear the rumor that after Batman Eternal, there's going to be a relaunch of a book called Nightwing and Bluebird?
Which would join him with
Harper Rowe from Last Man.
I'm very excited if that is true. But it's just rumor right now. That's why it hasn't gone on our website. Where you see only true things.
Right. So I also read...
The spin stops here. What are we, Fox News?
No, we're not Fox News, but...
this is kind of DC having their cake and eating it, too, because they've been wanting to kill him.
It really is.
Exactly.
Yeah, they've talked about killing him for so long that now they're like, okay, we killed Nightwing, it's done, and they can just bring him back.
Just a bunch of sociopaths over there.
We killed him for 5 minutes, it's fine. Because he's really... I can't think of anyone else in DC that has not died other than Nightwing. Like, Dick Grayson's been alive since his origin. Hey!
Robin Roca,
everyone! We're so happy to see him.
So
we got a full house now.
Yeah, absolutely do.
So you can go ahead and do a book a week, and then I'll come back.
What I was going to talk about, because I did like Nightwing, what I hated about it was the cover, totally misleading and had nothing to do with the rest of the book. It had him, fighting a bunch of people, and it just says ambush. And then the whole book is just, how he loves being Nightwing.
It was him fighting every villain that's ever been in the book since the relaunch. And then the end is him, tying up together all of those things in his life and how they led him to where he is.
Right, but it didn't... It was misleading.
I get your point.
Anyway.
Covers are a little misleading sometimes.
Yeah. Comics, kids.
Yeah, right? Exactly. my book of the week... Or a couple of books of the week. My main one, though, would be Batman, of course, because it... No, and I even texted you and I said, I know you'll never admit it, but it was awesome this week.
It was good. My problem with Batman since Zero Year, and I've told you this several times, is I just don't like flashback stories. Yeah. There's no threat level to me.
Yeah.
I know that Batman makes it out.
Right.
Commissioner Gordon was seemingly in a lot of trouble in this issue, right? With something was going to fall on him and kill him. But I'm like, oh, Commissioner Gordon's in the comics still. He's fine.
Yeah.
No threat.
But
that's what I don't like about flashback stories. It's a great story, though.
One of the things I did really appreciate... is you can tell that Snyder and Capullo are huge Frank Miller fans.
What's his name?
Greg Capullo.
Sounds like Cthulhu.
Cthulhu.
Greg Cthulhu.
Greg Cthulhu.
That's the same noise Magneto's helmet makes.
But anyway, they're huge Frank Miller fans because they made, I think, 3 Frank Miller references. A Dark Knight Returns reference,
Yeah, basically,
All-Star
he jumps
Batman
from,
reference.
He jumps from one blimp to another in the middle of a storm, and there's a lightning bolt behind him.
And he's like,
just like the cover for The Dark Knight Returns. It was really good.
And they made a All-Star Batman reference because they called him the GD Batman, which is.
And from, then they had that little censor bar. I thought that was pretty good.
Yeah.
And I mean, the whole thing is just a year one nod anyway. So, I mean, you can tell they're huge Frank Miller fans, but it was just. A really cool issue, just full of a bunch of... Rob, you're looking at me like...
You know, I'm listening to you.
Just a bunch of really awesome, awesome moments, but...
He looks like he should be on a talk show
know,
the way he's sitting.
I know. I'll talk about some other books of the week, but I'll let you guys do
And
yours
how did
first.
That make you feel?
I haven't picked up my books yet. That's how busy I've been this
week. Let me tell you Rob Ropka's
book
of
the week.
It was Superior Spider-Man number 29. It is.
It is.
Just trust us. It is.
If Warner's ever like, okay, no, that was a decent issue.
No, yeah, it was a good issue, and you will like it.
Yeah. We won't.
We're not going to spoil anything. There was a really unexpected sad moment.
Yeah.
Where I was like, this isn't going to be sad, and then I was like, I promised myself I wouldn't do this. Yeah, it was one of those. I was totally caught off guard.
Yeah.
But it was a really good book. But then another good book this week that I have to mention is...
Gavin didn't get to pick his book.
That's all right. Let him go.
Well,
I'll be talking to you.
I was going to give Gavin a big...
Mr.
He's going to do all his
Mr.
all in
Sir
one.
Sweet.
Yeah. Swooping in at the last...
Swoops, please.
Superman Wonder Woman, number six,
awesome.
Was amazing. It...
That the
it
ending,
sets up so much, and the ending was like, what? What just happened?
Yeah. Did any of you guys read it?
But more importantly... It's what's so awesome about Batman and Superman and Wonder Woman being in a relationship together.
Yeah.
Like everything, that's what I was afraid this book was going to be, and I was afraid it was going to be lame, but actually Charles Soule does a great job of writing the romance stuff and the relationship stuff to a point where I'm like, yeah, get through this action. Let's get back to that relationship dialogue. Like, it's really good. Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, man, punching somebody in the face, like, is, like, boring to you now?
Well, like, there's a moment where they have...
What do you mean we never go out anymore?
No.
I'm going to see that domestic dispute.
They had fought Zod and Feyora before.
And
got themselves just stomped. And Superman... was talking to Wonder Woman on the way back from that fight. Between that fight and then they had gone to get some armor and they were going back to fight them again. And he's like, the problem is, I'm worried about you during the fight. And he's like, this is why I don't think we're good for each other. And she's like, the reason we are good for each other is you don't need to worry about me during the fight.
Yeah.
And so there's this really cool like exchange where he's like, I think that's why I love you. And so then they fight and they
she does do a very Han Solo thing where he's like, I love you.
Because
she's like,
they have
to
defeat them, they're trying, Zod and Feyre are trying to open up the Phantom Zone and release an army. And to defeat them, they have to set off a reactor in a nuclear power plant. And Superman and Wonder Woman fly into this reactor and they have to do this thing together. And she says, after they had this conversation, she says, this is exactly why we're perfect for each other, because no other two people could do this.
Right, you can't
and
invite Lois.
And he's
right.
like,
so
and he just like looks at her, he's like, I love you. And she's like, yep. And then they just do it.
That's totally not
yeah.
Star Wars.
Like, she's so
yeah,
tough.
Not do it.
Like, I really, no, not that. They don't, like, they don't
Listen,
sex the reactor into action or anything.
Yeah, right.
I know, every time, like, me and my wife,
exactly.
We save the universe.
Yeah.
That's my plan of action.
Yeah, I mean, I'm just going to start calling it saving the universe from now.
Man, put some R. Kelly in the background.
Well, you know what time it is. It's time to defeat Zod, if you know what I mean.
Kneel before my Zod.
Go ahead and let's get out of this.
Nope.
Gavin,
look at that.
I read a couple
please
of books
get us out of here.
This week. Yeah.
Play us off, Gavin.
All right. So, I didn't get a chance to pick up my books this week, so I showed up here early to binge read, and it wasn't really a whole lot of reading.
He's like the reverse rope cut.
So, I
see what we did there because you were late.
Is that a fat joke?
I don't think that's what it is.
It's a Jewish joke.
He's not fat.
Whoa, someone's in the corner crying.
Can I close? It's in my way.
Yeah.
I want to see Gavin.
Sure. So, You could have backed up, yeah. So, let's see. I didn't really read Batman that much. I just kind of looked at it. I didn't really read any of these. I just kind of glanced through them. So I read Red Team by Garth Ennis. Craig Zermak, who's a buddy of mine. It's the last issue. That was really good stuff. Fun.
Tell us a little bit about the premise of Red Team.
Yeah, it's like, I guess it's a group of cops, four cops, that kind of get together to go on these, like, kind of like hit man type secret missions, and they have like a full set of rules. This is the seventh out of seven issues. So yeah, it's the last issue they're doing. It's been really good. Like, just like kind of fun. Kind of reminds me of like the S.H.I.E.L.D. TV show.
Okay.
Not Marvel S.H.I.E.L.D.
Not Marvel's Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. That has nothing to do with Marvel.
Minus Chiklis, of course.
Yeah.
It's getting better.
It is.
That's what
I've kept up with it out of faith, and it's actually like, oh, this is watchable now.
Good job. He's like George Michael. Got to have faith. Well, never
mind. Or Limp Bizkit.
And Lindsay.
I like that a lot.
I read the new Hawkeye. Hawkeye was
the
really
new
good.
Hawkeye was good, but I was really like it all took place of like him watching a cartoon.
Uh huh.
And it was kind of
they harken back because they were watching the cartoon earlier on in the series.
Right. Yeah. Right.
And so I think they just did this because David Aja is really far behind.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like he's got to be like it's my favorite book.
You remember when 16 came out before 15?
Uh-huh.
So like issue 16 came out, then 15, then 17 because of that very reason.
So he's got two pages of art in this.
Yeah. And he's a great artist,
is
but
Chris Iliopoulos.
Yeah.
So
I've got a kind of a sad story, but it's funny at the same time.
Bring us all down.
Bring us down. It's cool. So I before the podcast today, I hadn't read Hawkeye and I hadn't read Nightwing.
That's so sad.
And when I got a phone call right before I was able to read those from my mom, and she said that my childhood dog passed away this morning. Oh. And so I was like, and I just cried all of it out or whatever. And then I picked up Hawkeye to read it, and it's all about a dog.
And there's a dog
and
just plastered through it.
Just reading there, like, just the whole time.
Dude, this was your old Yeller moment.
And pretty much. Yeah. But then at the end, but at the same time while
you should
I was reading
home
it.
You should go and watch Marley and Me. That'll really set you.
Well, and then at the same time I was reading it and laughing, because it was hysterical at the same time. But that was my story, so, you know.
Yeah,
that's sad. Why'd you have to say it on the podcast?
I like how in this issue there's like the
why'd you have to expose the hard things going on in your life?
We
do you
don't
expect
expose
me to care?
Feelings here?
This is about fun. We're all just trying to have a good time here.
I'm here for you.
Thank you.
I don't know about that guy over there.
I figured he was going to make
fun of
you.
He'd be your conjoined host.
Why would I make fun of you about
sounds
that?
Like he wants to break it off.
I like dogs.
We just want to break it off.
Rest in peace, Gretel.
Yeah, Gretel. Gretel Louise.
I always liked it when you would run at me. I'd pee, or I'd...
Now there's some truth on the table. Lay it out, sir.
She'd roll over and scratch her...
Rob
got so excited getting chased by the dog, and he's like, dude,
she was a...
Tinkle, tinkle, tinkle.
She was a dachshund.
You said it, man.
She was a dachshund. And
I'm in Paris, bro.
We're off the rails.
You're in trouble.
Oh, jeez.
I knew I had you all riled up when you were doing the Gilbert Godfrey.
But they have bladder issues, and he's right. Every time that she would roll over and you'd scratch her belly, she'd just...
I wish you could see his hand motions.
Yes.
It was so dumb.
Anyway. Just Magneto style, baby.
Can we listen to an audio or video podcast?
Really quick.
All right. So, I think that's it for Books of the Week.
Yeah, sure.
And sad moments of the week. Let's move on to Moments of Glory.
Moments of Glory.
And then we'll take a break for Moments of Glory. Okay, so the Moment of Glory this week. DC's on a rampage of revealing things about their upcoming TV show project.
Yes, sir.
This week, not only did we get the reveal of what the Flash costume is going to look like,
which
I, for one, really like. The internet sort of hates it, but the internet hates everything.
We'll talk
about the good and bad and what people don't like
in
about it and what I like about it. In the ugly. And then, today, we get the first promo image from Constantine, and that guy just looks like they just pulled him right off the book. Like, Matt Ryan looks like John Constantine.
Yeah,
that's pretty spot on.
Well, and when... when he first got cast, because he had black hair.
And he had dark hair and real clean cut,
and I was like,
too.
Well, okay, this it's going to suck. And then the first like the first time that they show him, he's got like the blonde highlights,
just
sort
the
of,
dirtiest,
just
like 5 o'clock shadow.
Like, oh, it's yeah. Like the tie is just messed up. Like his collar's popped. It's awesome.
It's correct. Is what we're trying to say.
It's going
to
be a really great show. And I was worried because like Constantine on network TV, how does that work?
Yeah.
But I haven't watched it, but people love Hannibal, and it's on NBC.
Yeah.
And it gets away with a
Hannibal
lot.
Hannibal gets away with so much.
It gets away with a lot of stuff that I think Constantine now will like just push that even further.
I've been genuinely disturbed watching Hannibal. Like, whoa, that's okay today?
Yeah.
All right.
Well, here's the thing with Constantine is like being on network TV is all of the cuss words he says in the comics are just British cuss words. Which in America you can say on network TV.
Bugger!
So it's not like they have to change the way they write it.
Like Hellblazer, you got to say like.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Honk and honk. As we honk and honk. When I added the honky part. No, it's
there's some moments in Hellblazer.
Write down the time for me.
That's our new honk, is just Chewbacca.
So I think the show's going to be great.
I was just going to say, I mean, there are some moments in Hellblazer that are really, really out there.
Yeah.
Really, I wouldn't say.
God, this would be a great HBO show.
Yeah, well, that's the thing. It would be a better HBO show, but if it's got to be on network, it should be on the same channel that they have a show about Hannibal Lecter eating people.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
I mean, it goes on the same. I mean, it has the same feel. I think.
Okay, I'm looking at the Flash costume again. This Flash costume's awesome.
Yeah,
it's great. The main thing that people don't like is that it's a onesie, but that's not really. But
it's,
that's what Flash is.
It's a singlet.
So yeah, sorry. Onesies are for babies.
Also, I will agree with you that it's the wrong color of red, but in keeping with
how
Man of Steel looks and how Arrow's costume looks, it's got to feel the same.
They're taking out the primary of our superheroes, and it's fine. Deal with it.
Yeah. Now, the other big complaints are that it looks like leather, but
hot.
It looks like something. It doesn't look like leather. It looks like something he could run in, as opposed to the 1990s suede costume.
Well, that's
right.
Everything would catch
your thighs on fire.
Everything that I've seen, or everyone that I've seen, kind of defending it, just says that looks like something a runner would wear.
Yeah.
Like that's
And you gotta keep in mind too. This is a scientist's idea of what a runner would wear. He's not even a runner. He's a scientist
He's a runner now.
Yeah.
Well, if he's a scientist, then he would have the wherewithal to be like, all right, this suede was a terrible idea.
Yeah, and that's why he doesn't wear suede in the new costume. And then the other big complaint that the internet has, of course, is that the symbol behind the lightning bolt, instead of being white, is red. But who really cares?
That's not a big deal.
Right, and kind of what we were talking about before is, like, I guarantee either end of season one, beginning of season two, he'll have a new costume.
Yeah.
And I guarantee
like
that'll be something
just like
that
Arrow has a new mask.
Right, exactly. It's not...
And he's actually the Arrow now. It's not whatever.
If
slathering paint all
over the place. If there's one thing the CW does really well is listen to fan complaints and fix it.
And furthermore, just
on.
Berlanti and...
But you don't want the inmates running the asylum. Like, you don't...
Well, that's why you can't just start with, we're just going to make it look exactly like the comic book. They take the good and the bad, and they change what they need to
change. Put them together, what you
Yeah, I really like Dawson's Creek.
Yeah, that
no.
wasn't. But
when I think of CW, that's like.
But people were also getting bent out of shape. We got the promo image, and the costume looked great. Mm-hmm. And then there were the set pictures, and people were like, this looks so horrible. But what you've got to remember is that's somebody on the set taking pictures with a cell phone.
Right.
That doesn't have the lighting. That doesn't have the after effects.
Right, exactly.
I guarantee you, even standing still, he's going to have lightning running all over him. I mean, there's stuff that you got to wait till the show to see.
Yeah.
And that's my big thing. In other costume news, Mr. Chris Bannon, take it away. What else did we find out this week?
I don't remember.
It's about IU.
Oh, well, that's not been just this week. You're really late to that. It's okay.
Okay. Well, everyone's...
They had tons of different football jersey variations, and they've been pumping those out. This year was the first year. They had, like, 7 different helmets. Some are cool, some are not. This shows your sports knowledge, but I appreciate that you brought it into the fold.
People have been hating on it today. Like, at my work, I don't know what it was.
You played basketball today?
Did they have new uniforms on in the
they lose again.
Big Ten?
They wear their
they lost. Maybe they wore football helmets.
That's why they lost. Never wear. I didn't know that you don't wear football helmets during basketball. You just wear those.
The way you're peripheral.
You wear those clear face things around your nose like LeBron James.
Yeah.
Right?
That was for a short period of time.
Yeah.
That's for like two games.
Oh, well.
Wasn't a long term.
Oh, so yeah. Well, it really kind of hurt his chewing his own brand of bubblegum.
Anyway,
that was sports talk.
Yeah. We just lost like 37 fans.
Well, these no. Okay, okay. This just in. Okay. I had to listen to it on sports radio because I was building bikes. They did wear different jerseys. They've had the same basketball jersey since like the beginning of time.
I knew more about sports than you did.
Dinosaurs were playing. Like, they had IU jerseys on. They were the same. Said Indiana. And these ones say Hoosiers, and they're all dumb, and they have red drops in their shorts.
Wait. Is that like Hoosiers?
Okay, so yeah.
It looks like
this is what I wanted from you.
It looks like they want to be like...
Nerd rage all over these jerseys.
They're all like, yes, Adidas, we'll take your money. Yeah, these are totally lame.
Yeah.
Woo. Yeah.
There we
totes
go.
Lame.
Totes lame. Totes lame.
Totes my coach.
People
lame.
Have been complaining about
they should
so
be.
Much today.
These
yeah.
are dumb.
All right. So
what
there
makes
you, go.
You the authority?
I am, you know.
There's
don't talk to me like that. I'm an adult.
Don't yell at my computer.
there is our sports for the millennia.
Woo.
When there you go.
We'll take a break, but when we get back, we'll have Gavin's Corner. With Gavin's
we promise Corner. When we get back, we're not going to talk about sports.
Ooh, Gavin's Corner.
Yeah.
After these messages, we'll be right back.
Hey, guys. If you like all the stuff we've been talking about tonight, make sure you get your comics from Comic Book University in the Greenwood Place Shopping Center at 7623 Shelby Street.
And if you'd like to buy them digitally, you can go to comicbooku.com.
And also, make sure to check out our affiliates at fanboyfactor.com if you want to see comic book reviews, toy reviews, news, and all that kind of stuff.
If you want all of your nerd news, know-how, general updates, and any of our podcasts, you can go to our website at www.nerdmanagement.com. That is www.nerdmgmt.com.
And don't forget, if you're in the Indianapolis area for Indiana Comic Con, on March 15th at 5 p.m., we'll be doing a panel with our friends from Kind of Epic Show about Indiana podcasting.
Now back to the show.
All right, we're back. Again, we're back like the dinosaurs. We're back to this.
Oh,
show.
I love that.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
John
yeah.
Donna Tam and sing this song with me.
You'll eat when I'm finished.
But there's never any left.
So Rob.
Come back to that.
Wow, we remember a lot of lines from that.
But you were late today.
I was.
You want to tell us a little bit about that?
I got in a fight with the Acorn Gang.
Oh, the Acorn Gang again.
those rebel rousers.
Those meddling kids.
You should. Good thing the Apple Butter Boys weren't there.
The DDB.
Or the Buttercream Gang. Remember them?
Don't have the Dirty D Boys.
I never want to be associated with that gang.
Yeah, the Dirty D Boys. You don't.
We have
T-shirts.
We have groups of just like villains. Like we have Rogues Gallery on this podcast. I don't know if you know. And
Buttercream Gang on it.
No, we got the Acorn Gang. We got the Apple Butter Brothers and
the
Dirty D
Boys.
The Dirty D Boys.
The D does stand for what you would think it would be.
Ducks.
Yes. Hashtag DDBs for short. Anyway, back to whatever we talk about on this show. I don't even know anymore.
Well, Gavin.
It's fine.
We're in Gavin's Corner.
Okay.
Yeah. Gavin's Corner.
Get in my corner.
I'll get your corner as well.
Wait, that shouldn't be it.
I liked that.
That was all right. That was okay.
So, Gavin, what's new with you? We haven't seen you in a while.
Not much.
Dish.
You guys.
Good dish, bro.
You know.
No, I've been super busy since the last time I was here. So last time I was on the podcast, I got a phone call from my editor while we were in the middle of an interview.
Yeah.
I had to call him and tell him to shut up real quick. Anyway, so I went out to my car, and I was stuck in the parking lot here for like a half hour talking to him during the middle of a crazy snowstorm that happened.
Oh, yeah, it was snowmageddon back then.
Yeah.
And it was, that was terrible because I had to drive home in it, but good because I found out I got, now I get to do the covers for Accelerators.
Yeah.
That was cool.
Which is the book that you do the interiors on. real quick, who was doing, and just so people know, who was doing the covers before you?
Walt Flanagan was doing the covers.
Really?
Walt Flanagan.
Of
comic book man,
comic
and
book
talented
man.
Steve Dave.
Yeah.
So I was
He did first five covers, but I inked two of them over his pencils, and that was fun to do. But I was really excited to actually get it full time since I did it
that's awesome.
Anyway.
That's really exciting.
It just makes sense.
And yeah, like I just wanted to do the cover. So I've only done one.
I'm really
of them
excited
so
there first.
Yeah, that's awesome. Yeah, I'm really pumped for you about that.
That's awesome. That's really cool. And then so was I here before or after Christmas?
I believe it was before because we took a break at Christmas.
Yeah.
Okay.
So.
So that was around when I started working on All Superheroes Must Die. I think
exactly.
You talked to us about that.
So I finished penciling that book.
Awesome.
I'm like two pages away from finishing up the sixth issue of Accelerators. And 2 days after Christmas, I got cold called by this guy, and I ended up doing a corporate job for AT&T.
Nice.
Really?
That's how it felt.
Yeah. You're like, why is AT&T calling me?
Yeah.
He's making money now.
Well, I'm sorry, the bill is the check in the mail.
Yeah,
no, sir, you're
no,
misunderstanding.
No, you don't understand. We want to give you money. No, so I ended up doing like this corporate job that nobody will ever see. It's so great. It is great, actually. So like they called me and they were like, listen, we've got 12 days to put together this motion comic. And so every illustration I did was really like three illustrations. So I had to do like foreground, middle ground, background.
Middle
ground, background.
Okay.
And post them all together in Photoshop so they could just make them go.
Yeah.
Right.
So
That was a great demonstration.
Yeah, thanks.
Yeah.
For all you everybody listening at home.
Just look. Just look at his hands.
My hand demonstration, yeah. So
it was spot on.
It was great. And they're funny videos. I had to draw a bunch of CEOs from AT&T.
That's cool. Awesome.
No,
I mean, it's a legit corporate gig. Like only corporate people will ever see it.
That's exactly what it was like.
That's
an
really
house
awesome
meeting.
Yeah,
like that's all.
How do you get contacted about something like that? Like,
especially cold calls. Like,
what?
That's,
yeah.
How did your number end up in their hands? That's so cool.
This is from what I understand is that Mike Zapchik
from
I Sell Comics.
And Comic Book
and
Man
comic
as well.
Book
yeah.
Man, plug.
I love their stuff, so
yeah,
plug them away.
They've been like such a champion of Accelerators. So
yeah,
I guess this guy that hired me ended up going into Jay and Silent Bob's secret stash. He showed them the Accelerators, and then I guess he had a card of mine, or maybe he went to my blog and found my phone number, or something.
That's awesome.
You know, if anybody wants to call me, that's where you can find my number.
Thus begins the immense amount of stalking.
Yeah, right. My phone disabled.
Sorry, guys.
We're getting a lot of feedback. It's like Gavin's phone.
So yeah, he called me and he said he only had like 12 days to get it done. So I was like,
jeez.
So it was like 40 plus illustrations, all with foreground, middle ground, background. So really,
it's 120.
It was something
plus,
ridiculous,
you know?
And I had to color them all.
Whoa!
Too,
yeah.
So
that's not typical.
So
for
how
your
much
work, right?
Did you
normally
drink?
Actually, I was pretty good about like keeping a solid schedule. Like it was like five different chapters of this thing, so I did all the pencils and inks for five chapters all like one day at a time, and then like I took a day off and then I did all the colors one day at a time. I got it in a day early, actually.
That's awesome.
So why won't we ever see it? Did it just not?
Because it's only
it's
like,
not for you, Alex.
People that work at AT&T.
Yeah, it was
like they
was like
go to training house, class, like, and then here's this video by
it's
Gavin.
It's for more affluent people,
right?
Not for the ants,
and
not for us peasants.
It was funny. It didn't look a lot like how I draw it. They kind of wanted an impression of a comic book, not like, you know, like
right.
So you had to be really comic booky.
Yeah, I got you.
Did you have to use Comic Sans?
I didn't do any lettering. I think they wanted me to at first, and then they were just like, "Oh, we'll do it digitally." And I'm like,
"We found this really cool font in Word that we think is
like
perfect."
They wanted me to use a lot of like, you know, pixelated half tone patterns and stuff like that, which is okay. I like those, but like in a kind of cheesy way.
Yeah,
so,
yeah.
You know, a lot of zap pow. Like seriously, there was one segment that I called "The Power of Taking a Break." So I literally drew like a donut, with, like Homer Simpson, like all these sprinkles on top of it, and it isn't like this yellow like pow.
Yeah,
that's so
like
cool.
Batman 66, so kind of like the donut kind of comes at you and goes. Like, kind of bounces back. It does really, you know, more visual.
Yeah, again, just visual.
I like just the sounds. Of, like, yeah. The first was like, whoa, whoa, whoa. And then the second was like, whoo.
You guys know what I mean.
You're a soundboard. Yeah, right?
It's pretty spot on.
Put you guys out of a job.
Pretty soon we're just going to have Gavin come in and just... Like, not talk about any of his work. Just do all the sound effects from the soundboard.
Okay, come in, Chewbacca.
You're like, soundboard's broken tonight.
It's Michael Winslow.
Yeah.
Michael Winslow, yeah. Also from Spaceballs.
Yeah.
My favorite part of Spaceballs. When
He's pretty great.
The blips, the sweeps, and the beeps, or something like that.
The sweeps, the creeps, and the beeps.
I've seen it, but I'm not a fan.
It's
You're not a fan of the Schwartz?
I'm not a fan of Mel Brooks. I'm not. I'm
Whoa,
sorry.
Whoa! Not. You should be.
You should be.
It's fine.
Go watch.
Because your favorite movie is with Blazing Saddles, right?
No, you got me confused with someone else.
Okay.
Thought we were friends.
Is there anything you can't talk about that you're excited about?
I can vaguely dance around this thing that I did that people will see, but they'll never know I did it. I drew backgrounds for a book, but I can't say what book it is.
That's so awesome. That's
is it a book about a 90s
television
show?
We know.
I don't know.
But that's pretty cool. I mean, that's an exciting thing. So, but do you have any like other projects you're working on? Or
I'm finishing up Accelerators. I got to finish up All Superheroes Must Die. So those are keeping me busy.
How did your crowdfunding go with that? Did you guys hit your goal or did you exceed it?
I have no clue.
Good question.
Yeah, like that was
I know that was a while ago.
Yeah, that was something that Jason, the writer, set up, and I guess it went well because, I mean, he paid me to draw the book, so that was cool. So it's all penciled as of now, so I gotta get it inked, and as soon as I get it inked, which I gotta ink like 3 more pages of Accelerators, I'm done, maybe somewhere in that ballpark.
Yeah.
And then I can start inking All Superheroes Must Die. As soon as I get that done, I have to color it.
Now, is Accelerators an ongoing, or is that.
As of now, it's an ongoing.
That's awesome.
We were supposed to end after issue 6, which is what I'm finishing up now, but we're going to 10 issues now, which I think I told you that last time.
Yeah.
So as of right now, we're at 10 issues. I don't know if it's going to go on past that, but the idea that the night I found out about the cover, I talked to my editor about it. He's like, you know, 10 issues is what we have planned, but we're considering it an ongoing. So
that's awesome.
That's exciting news.
Yeah, that's great news for me.
Yeah.
Accelerators is
anytime you think that your job is going to be done and then you find out you have more job, therefore more income, that's pretty awesome.
Yeah.
How would you like to get paid still? Oh,
yeah.
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah,
man.
You got it. So you talked about last time a book that you had like started when you were in the Kubert School and that you had written and drawn yourself. Are you still working on that? Is that Because I really got excited about that when you talked about it.
I just ordered like a new batch of my issue ones. I only got to do one issue, and then that book got me hired for
Human City?
Accelerators.
Yeah, Human City.
So that got me hired for
Nerd.
Everything else I've ever drawn since that book. Mm-hmm. But it's something I'm really trying to get back to. So as soon as depending on what the future holds for All Superheroes Must Die, because we don't have a publisher for it.
Right.
Like, if it kind of, you know, stops dead, then I'm definitely going to try to get back to Human City more full-time. So I want to, and then try to find a home for it.
Yes.
It's awesome.
Which is probably, I don't know who it would be, but I don't want to commit to anything right now, but I'm going to find a home.
AT&T's
new digital line of comics. Oh, that's good stuff.
Yeah.
So,
where are you going to be this weekend?
This weekend, I am not going to be at the Indiana Comic Con.
This will be out before.
Yeah,
people.
Actually, this will be out after this weekend. Like, this will come out Monday, so.
Oh, well,
it'll be
so where, so where
so
were you?
So where were you this last
so
weekend?
So I was in Lexington this past
time
weekend.
Time travel. What?
Was it great?
It was amazing.
Was it great?
I went down there with, let's talk about all the stuff that I am going to do.
What did you eat when you were there?
I'll tell you who I ate with. I ate with legendary Playboy artist Doug Snape.
Nice.
It's going to happen, actually.
Yeah.
That's
awesome.
Really cool, yeah.
You can talk about it in whatever tense you want, and people can figure it out.
Yeah. You punched William Shatner in the face, I heard.
Well, he had it coming. I was hitting on a girl at a bar, and he started coming in talking about Priceline.
What if now that he's like talking about all this segment happened, and then it just keeps happening? It's like an episode of That's So Raven. He keeps trying to stop it, but every time he tries to stop it, it makes it worse.
Why?
That's a really bad example.
That's so Gavin.
Ooh, I smell a revamp.
Oh, well, I already... Well, now I know what the title of this episode is.
That's so Gavin.
That's how it works, guys. That's how it works in the biz, as we call it. Yeah. So, topic time.
Awesome.
Getting all overheated.
Yeah. Goodness.
I got the vipers.
Okay, so we got about 10 minutes to wrap this stuff up here.
So let's do it in 30.
Yeah, so our typical way. So... Topic tonight, you want to go ahead and bring us home tonight?
The topic tonight, since con season's around the bend, and we kind of, I know Rob was talking about how some things that he's going to look for, I want to talk about what our most valuable part of our collection is. Not, you know, it doesn't have to be valuable as in, you know, like the most expensive or
we can also talk about what we're looking for at the con.
Absolutely.
So that if we don't find it, one of our thousands of fans hears
Absolutely.
It, they just send it to
Absolutely.
Us because they're cool.
Exactly.
I'm looking for love.
Yeah.
In all the wrong.
I like how Chris
lies in let's clarify.
And here we are.
Let's clarify though. This doesn't have to be like comics or toys. Like my collection stuff's going to be about like whatever you collect.
That's so Gavin. Colon backroom special.
what's your piece that you like of your collection that you're like this is the thing that it doesn't have to be the most valuable. Or the most rare, just whatever the thing is that you think is like the best piece of your collection.
Yeah,
I can start because I actually have one.
Yeah, okay. Start with these guys first. All
right, so I collect like puzzles, like Rubik's cubes, and those little like Chinese puzzles that
finger traps.
Yeah, finger traps and little wire ones. My favorite one is the newest one I have. It's called the Gear Cube, and it's specially designed. And it's actually really cool. I'm not going to explain it. Just go on thinkgeek.com. Through our website, you can click our banner.
Blammo!
Check out the Gear Cube. I did that so well, guys. Pat on the back.
Yeah.
Moving on.
The Gear Cube, also, that's the thing from Hellraiser that borders the line of pain and pleasure.
Sure.
Opens it up to the, Cyber Bites or whatever those guys are called. anybody here a Hellraiser fan of Cyber Bites?
I mean, I know what you're talking about.
Have you heard about this?
Have you guys heard about this? Hellraiser thing?
About this?
This new horror film.
Have you guys heard about these books with pictures?
No.
Okay, so, Rob, what about you? What is your piece of your collection that you are stoked on right now?
Monetarily or just sentimental.
Did you not hear the intro?
There was a big
sleeping over here. He's fine. What is your it could be
I
like
can't read.
So
well that really hurt his feelings.
There we go.
We should have told you that before the show.
They need to make comics with Braille.
So if you can see him doing
no it. Way!
I want to see the flatline sound and just all E Braille E's.
Oh man!
That's an awful joke.
Jumpers out of again. Did you guys feel Swamp Thing this week?
Well, I feel Swamp Thing every week. Anyway, tell me what's your favorite thing. What's your favorite thing from like you know
that really
your collection?
To mean.
Probably my favorite thing from my collection is you guys know I'm a diehard Gears of War fan.
Wow!
There's a studio called Mind's Eye Studio that does these really awesome, like bronze statues. And I had a black and red Chaos Marcus Fenix. I got the first one of 25.
Yeah.
That's
is that
really
the Ortega cool. did that, or did he just do the
Ortega did the comics?
Okay.
Mm-hmm. I'm really, really proud of that.
Yeah.
So.
It's and let me just say from experience, because I've been over to the old Rokupad.
Mm-hmm.
It's awesome. It's great.
The Rokupad.
Okay, now tell us what you're going to be looking for at the cons this season.
I definitely want to pick up a Saga of the Swamp Thing 37.
It's actually, before he has an F and A aneurysm, it's House of Secrets 37.
No, it's not.
No, it's not.
No, it's Saga of the Swamp Thing 37.
Look, you should have just left it alone.
I wanted him to have an aneurysm.
Here's the thing.
I saw his eye twitching.
I feel really bad because that's the first appearance of John Constantine. And when I was like trying to really build my Swamp Thing collection, I was just like buying collections up.
Yeah.
And at one point, I probably had like three Saga of the Swamp Thing 37s. And I didn't know you were looking for it.
It's okay. I'll
and I sold. It. Okay. I still have my copy that's signed by John Totleman and Stephen Bastetti, who created the character.
Humble brag. Humble brag. I mean,
how many tracks last week?
Yeah.
I mean, I'm sure your copy will be cool.
Yeah. I'm sure everything you do is cool.
No, that's
but
really cool. And at the concert, I'm
yeah, that's great.
You, which will be this weekend, mm-hmm. which will be last weekend.
Because I'm in space. But hey.
And then C2E2, and then you're probably going to PopCon.
I'm absolutely
I'll help you keep an eye out. I know what the cover looks like because I've seen it three times. In
there's a face.
So anyway, that, and then, I mean, this is obviously really a Hellblazer one.
Oh, yeah.
It's really
that's like $20. Yeah, that's not a tough
sell.
Tough
yeah, they're both.
I've got
yeah,
one
totally.
Of those.
You got one of those. No big deal.
Okay, so Rob, Alec,
my name's
I mean,
Alec.
Yeah, I get you guys confused because you were my best friend, but then now I'm really falling in love with Rob
ooh,
over here. So like now
jam.
We're all equal. No.
Dude, do you need a hug?
I'll be here for you to
my
make mistakes with
today.
On the rebound.
make a sigh. Make a sigh for me.
Guys,
everybody's good.
Rob Scorion's
reference. I love you, Alec.
I
love you. He just Han Solo'd me.
I
love you, Alec.
I know.
Okay. guys, Alex Miller with us. He's frozen in carbonite over here. Anyway,
my probably most valuable one. It's a New York Comic Con variant of Batman 24 of the New 52.
Yeah, yeah.
It's one of probably my favorite just cover art that I've ever seen because it mimics Detective 27 where it has him, you know, flying through like carrying it. And it's
yeah.
it's just a cool thing. And I got it for Christmas from my mom and she's never bought me a comic book ever. And so I asked, I want this one specifically, and she got that for me.
What a great mom.
Yeah, I tried that 1 year, it didn't work.
Mom, the meatloaf!
That's awesome.
What does she do back there? And then what I'm going to look for at the cons is the first appearance of Thanos, which is Iron Man 55.
That's tough.
Which I'm probably not going to find.
That actually is a tough book to find.
Yeah.
That's going to be rough.
Yeah. But, you know, set my sights high.
Yeah. Chris, what do you got, collection-wise?
Burger Sack,
Banta.
Man, when I was a younger lad, and I still collected to my early 20s, and I don't really know, but I used to collect basketball cards like ridiculous. And I used to go to lots of trade shows for basketball cards and stuff. But I have since
back
shifted.
When they had stores for that.
Yeah. Yeah, don't. It's a sad time. It's a dark market for cards right now.
All
but,
back alley trades.
And then the older I've gotten,
back
I've come
trades.
To the reality that collecting basketball oh, cards, and it made me feel bad. I was like, man, I was just collecting valuable pictures of men. And like, it's like now I'm not as into it at all.
Because you had that one room.
Had this, I was like, man, that's a downer. Because I'm like, how am I going to ever justify like buying something really expensive? I'm like, dude, this one picture of this guy is
yeah.
really hot.
He's like sweating.
So hot.
Oh.
Yeah, so, but no.
He's about to put a ball in a net.
Under the line!
Actually, I collect records. I collect vinyl records a lot. I'll travel out of our fine state anytime I can to go sometimes wait in line up to 12 hours, whatever, just for, sometimes there's Jack White's record label called Third Man Records. It's probably my favorite label. I went out there for a lot of releases, like on Record Store Day, things like that. And so for me, my most value or just prized piece would be either, the Raconteurs, copper record. They only put out 300 of those. I made a huge, awesome, wicked frame for it. The only way you could get one was at Record Store Day. And that was the first year that Third Man Records was actually open, so that was pretty cool. But for me personally, one of my favorite musical artists, his name's Hani Al-Khatib. He's just been blowing up the last couple of years. I saw him in Bloomington No More a couple of years ago with like 20 people, and I had already been really into his music. I'm like, why is there this few people here? And sure enough, like Dan Auerbach of the Black Keys, after his first album, was like, dude, like a lot of people found out, like, your music's amazing. I'd like to produce your second album. They released it, and now he's like playing sold out shows in Europe and stuff, and it's just huge. But his newest album called, oh gosh, Head in the Dirt, They did 100 tricolor red, white, and blue vinyl releases, and their first stop on the tour was actually at the Vogue. And I didn't know if there would be record collectors, probably similar to comic, can be real stingy, and people like will get there real early just for anything. Yeah. It's a little bit different with music because if you're there for vinyl, like, there's still not as many people there for vinyl. Like, you can just be going to see the band.
Yeah.
You know, not and have no clue or interest about the vinyl. But they only gave away one per show, and that was the first stop on the tour. And I worked in Broadway all the time. I got there 6 hours early. There was no reason for me to be there. No one else even got to the door until, like, a half hour before doors open. And then, like, even with that, like, this girl and her boyfriend had the gall to try to step in front of me. I was about ready to, like, slit their throats. But instead, my masculinity won them over, and I walked inside and immediately got it. So
that's awesome.
And there's only 100 of those, and I'm just like, nah, every time I see it. So
that's awesome.
Is
that's
it up in the frame now?
Yeah, I make all, really like, cool. For my really valuable ones, I make all my own frames and stuff.
I've been to the band.
You can come whenever you want, man.
Yeah, it's really cool. There's vinyls everywhere, and they're very pretty.
That was my
All
right.
Thing.
Well, I mean, I've talked about my most prized possession a lot before this episode.
Child, wife, didn't talk about comics.
Yeah.
Hopefully your son.
I collect humans.
I something down like your son, and I gotta probably go before that.
No,
you don't want to be like,
I get children.
In my collection, I have the House of Secrets 92 signed by Bernie Wrightson and Lynn Wein. That's the first appearance of Swamp Thing when it was in just a horror anthology book. And it's my favorite thing that I own as far as my collection. Just like, it probably is worth the most too, I would think, maybe. Yeah. It's up there, definitely. But that's probably my favorite thing. But there's something that's like really important to me that I think is noteworthy in this segment. And that's...
That's all your friendship.
Yeah, my friendship. Now, you guys all know that I'm a Ninja Turtles fan.
Mm-hmm.
And So I have all of the new figures, and I kind of, when I was younger, I had a ton of the old Ninja Turtles figures. Mm-hmm. But though, you know how it is when you're a kid. You lose them, you leave them somewhere, whatever. And then over time, I ended up with only a very few of those. But I've gone back since and, like, rebought some of my favorite ones to kind of build my vintage collection back up. But one of the originals that I still have is my original Triceraton. And that's the villains that are the Triceratops.
Yeah.
And that's silly. It's not worth anything, and they made a billion of them, and you can get them anywhere.
But they're so much fun to play with.
But the memory to that is when I was 5 years old, I had like a minor surgery. It wasn't a big deal, but it was my first surgery, and I was real scared and
stuff.
He
became a boy.
And my parents bought me... they went to buy me a Ninja Turtles thing, and the story, when my mom tells it so much better, but when she got back, I was like, whoa, this is awesome, because I had never gotten a villain before. My parents were real big about just buying me heroes, which doesn't make much sense, because then your heroes can't fight anybody. And someone at the toy store explained that.
Look how good we look.
They were like, and then I guess there's a lady in the aisle with them, and they're like, are you buying for a little boy? They're like, yeah. He really loves Ninja Turtles, but he has all these. She's like, why don't you get him one of the bad guys? And they're like, oh, well, why? And she's like, well, the good guy's got to fight the bad guys. And so that story has stuck with me for now 20-plus years.
Yes, that,
and
it like, opened your parents' eyes. So that
and makes... I still have that, like, he's got all of his weapons. His tail is still on, which is really, really crazy for those, because those could just pop right off.
Yeah.
Like, it's just a really cool figure. And it's roughed up and beat all the crap, because I used to really
rough
it. But
it's an original.
Sure. But it's my original one that I had when I was like 5 years old. So it's really
cool. That's really cool.
Yeah.
What are you looking for in the con season?
I'm going to try to get some more obscure like Swamp Thing stuff. Maybe some of the figures I need. Or I'd really like to find... I just recently bought one of the Swamp Thing puzzles. There's four Swamp Thing puzzles that Rozart made. And they're super hard to find. And I just recently got one and it had all the pieces. That's why they're hard to find. Because obviously with puzzles, they rarely have all the pieces. So I kind of like to find something like that. Something obscure, Swamp Thing related. I'm not really picky. There's not like one thing I'm like, this is what I want.
You're going to look for like a Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles number one?
Yeah, I'd probably like to get one of those. Probably a better print than your third printing. I'd probably try to get at least a second print. Because you went and cut me deep, Alec. You went and cut me deep and bought a Ninja Turtles number one when I'm the turtle guy.
I like turtles.
He beats his chest like King Kong.
It's fine, buddy. It's really, I'm happy for you.
Is that what you do when you're upset? You start slapping your nipples.
Curse my nipples.
All right, so let's close the show out with Gavin's favorite collector piece.
I've got some pretty cool original art, actually. I have a sketchbook that's got a lot of my fellow students and instructors from when I was at Kubert School, and also just some other artists from going to conventions and stuff. So it's got Kim DeMolder, Fernando Ruiz, Alex Stevens, Brian Buniak, Gary Brown, Craig Cermak, Rags Morales, Peter Laird. It's pretty loaded.
Awesome.
Mike Norton's in there, too. So it's a pretty loaded sketchbook, and then I have, like, an Adam Hughes sketch that hangs on my wall, the Blue Beetle, but he didn't fill in the black all the way, so I went in with a Sharpie and, like, filled it in for him.
That's awesome.
So it looks more legit.
I got this door.
Yeah. And I have a Steve McNiven panel from Nemesis, which is really cool. But my favorite that I have, this fun story that goes with this, is during my time at Kubert School, I only missed one Joe Kubert class. And that happened to be the day that he gave an inking demo.
Oh, no.
So, like, other than that, he just kind of, like, talked to us for a while and then, like, went over our work and we talked for a while and he'd tell us what we were doing right, what we were doing wrong, what we should fix. So, anyway, the day he gives an inking demo, I miss out on it. So I asked him one day if he would give me an inking demo, like, you know, or, like, if he would do it again. Just that I figured he meant for the whole class.
Sure.
And he said, yeah, no problem. And then, like, weeks went by. We both forgot about it, I think. And then the last assignment, after we'd gone to D.C., after we'd met Marvel, we'd done all that, you know, last 2 weeks of school, now that we've seen all the editors that we needed to see, we don't really have any, like, we're all just kind of like, ah, it's the last assignment, blow-off assignment. So the last assignment, as a joke, I think my buddy Anthony, who's now a Superman editor at D.C., he ended up writing, like, a joke WWE story, and he gave it to me and my Christian to draw. So I have this panel of Triple H pedigreeing John Cena.
Yes. Okay.
And then Joe comes up to me, and he goes, hey, Gavin, you want that inking demo? Bring up that page. And I was like, oh, no.
Of all pages.
So he puts a piece of tracing paper over my page, and then just, like, inks it, and it's, like, so effortless and so amazing. And when I moved back to Indy from Jersey, I thought I had lost it in the move, and I was devastated.
Yeah.
Especially when I found out that Joe had passed away.
Right.
It's now almost, a year and a half ago.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So, like, I tore my apartment up, and I found it. I have it. It's in great condition still.
That's
so
awesome.
Like, a piece of Joe Kubert art.
That's awesome.
That's
very cool.
Well, I think that about wraps it up. We don't even need to add anything.
Now,
if you
could be real cool, if you could, like, take a picture of that and put that on the Nerd Management page, that would rule.
That would rule. All right, no problem.
We love you forever and ever.
Yeah, thanks a lot to Gavin Smith for coming on, and we'd love to have you on a third time. Preferably before we have Chase on for a fourth time, so you guys can catch up with him.
And then we can have, like, the Grand Slam show where we both
Oh, no! That's it.
That's a freebie.
That's it, right there. That's going to happen. Yeah. That will happen.
It will happen again.
All right, thanks for listening to Nerd Management. Good night, everybody.
Bye, everybody.
Let me see if I can find that photo real quick. I gotta.
Oh, sorry.
Why is it always so much better when we're all together?
Because there's more people that, like, watch other stuff.
Alright, here's one panel from X-Files that I.